Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHD, WPHD, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
It is a busy, busy news day today on this Wednesday afternoon. Reaction to Trump's announcement last night. I'll tell you what Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida just said a few moments ago. And the truth comes out about that missile strike in Poland yesterday. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. Busy, busy day. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Later in the show today, we're going to tackle disinformation and also windmills. I want to go after these windmills big time because they're coming to the Jersey Shore and we got to stop them. They are monstrosities that are going to destroy the view, destroy the coastline, destroy the habitat. The very, very, very bad thing. So I'm going to talk to the attorney for Cape May County, New Jersey, a little bit later in the show today. But let's turn our attention to Pennsylvania first. And I wanted to, before I get to our guest, Marty in Kennett Square has been patiently holding. Marty, your thoughts on President Trump's speech last night?
Yeah, it was great. It was great hearing him again. Super excited to for him to be running. And I'm not really worried about him and DeSantis battling it out. You know, competition is the best thing anyway for the country. So let them go out there and compete. And the best man wins it out. That's just really the way I feel about it. I think it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing for them to go up against each other.
No, it's so actually refreshing to hear you say that, because I agree with you. I think healthy, robust primaries are a very good thing, as long as people can just, you know, stick to the issues and not make it too personal and attack each other in a way that we can't bring everybody back together afterward. But I agree with you. It's a healthy process. So I'm glad to hear you say that, Marty.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they don't have to go after each other personally. A lot of that stuff was, it was a little bit much the last time around. He ran two different times and getting into the mud with it. You know, stick to what the things that you're running on, stand and believe in it and express it to the people and let them go and bring their own thoughts and their agenda and tell America. And it's nothing to be afraid of. You can't be afraid to compete. And everybody's worried about, oh, he might get injured by this, or he might get put down for that. Can't worry about that. You know, competition is good.
Marty, thank you for the call, buddy. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. My guest, Michael Torres, is the deputy editor of Real Clear Pennsylvania. Hey, Michael, thanks for making time for me today. What's going on?
Hey, Rich, thanks so much for having me on. You know, just listening to all the craziness happening in American politics lately.
Is there craziness? I haven't been paying attention. I was trying to check out.
Good luck.
You wrote a piece, Pennsylvania Republican leaders point to Trump for midterm losses. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I spoke with quite a few folks at the county level and the state level who are involved in party politics, people in Westmoreland County, Washington County, a lot of Western Pennsylvania folks. And I can say with confidence that there was quite a bit of unhappiness with regard to Doug Mastriano's campaign and with the way that Donald Trump was involved in the last election and how it came to the point of really making the party underperform in places where it should be getting very large majorities of the vote.
So there seems to be two issues. I mean, blaming Doug Mastriano, which is fair, he was a candidate, but they're blaming Trump for what? For endorsing him, backing him? What exactly is the connection there?
Yeah, a lot of people point to Donald Trump's fixation on the 2020 election and trying to get the candidates that he endorsed to focus on that. You heard him try to get folks in New Hampshire and Arizona, and that includes Doug Mastriano here in Pennsylvania to talk about it. And all the way up to the last couple days of the race when he had his rally in Latrobe, it was a theme of what he talked about there in Westmoreland County. And what ended up happening was a county that Republicans should win by about 20-25%. Mastriano won by 2.44%. And people in at the county level in places like Washington and County out in Western Pennsylvania and Cambria County out there also are pointing to a lot of Republicans they spoke to who basically said, yeah, my vote won't count, and weren't interested in going out that this time around because they were just so convinced the election process was rigged and they were going to lose again. And also to a lot of middle of the road voters or people who voted for Obama a while ago and then voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020, decided that, hey, they were just kind of sick of hearing about 2020 and they wanted to vote for someone else who wasn't talking about that. And so they picked Shapiro.
Let me ask this question too, Michael Torres. Do they blame him for his endorsement of Dr. Oz? Because I've heard a lot of that from people. I've heard people say that had he stayed out of it and had Sean Hannity stayed out of it, maybe there would have been a different candidate who was the nominee, maybe one with more roots in Pennsylvania, for example. Are you hearing that as well?
Quite frankly, no. I don't know what it is, but a lot of people just aren't talking about Oz. I mean, even at the state level, I spoke to a couple folks at the state GOP, and I spoke to people in the state legislature, state senators. No one was really talking about the Oz campaign. People said that he ran a decent campaign. He tried to go to the suburbs and into the cities and get voters who may not agree with him on issues. A lot of people instead were pointing to Mastriano pulling the rest of the ticket down and causing a lot of problems. And it looks like today, I think headlines just came out, or I saw some stuff on Twitter. It looks like the Pennsylvania House is going to flip to a Democrat majority for the first time in 12 years. So there's a lot of angst over that within the party.
You know, maybe I'm old school, but it's hard for me to blame Trump only because I think that he's such a known entity and quantity that people have already made their decisions on this. So I look at other factors in this. I look at the lack of money. I look at the mail-in ballots. I think the Republicans have done a terrible job of maximizing mail-in balloting. I mean, for me, those are two issues that stand out there. I think Doug Mastriano could have done a whole lot more in terms of rallies and engaging the public and the media and the press. But I also feel bad for him in the sense that Josh Shapiro refused to debate him. I mean, it just seems there's a lot of factors. It's very easy to run and say it's Donald Trump's fault. But I think that is an easy kind of cop-out for real systematic problems that the Republican Party in Pennsylvania absolutely needs to address. And part of that is, yes, candidate selection, candidate recruitment, but then the GOTV operation, which I saw, Michael Torres, a lot of that was still focused on getting people to the polls on election day when Democrats were getting people to the polls weeks earlier in the terms of getting them to put it in their mailbox.
Exactly. I mean, I spoke to a lady named Jackie Kuhlbach from Cambria County. She's the GOP county party chair out there. And she said that she couldn't have been more aggravated about how difficult it was to get people to vote by mail, to get Republicans to vote by mail. So you ended up with a lot of elderly folks who would normally find voting by mail extremely convenient, not able to go on election day if things are difficult for them. And it really just dampens down the amount of turnout you can get. Whereas if you're trying to get people out for 2-3 weeks, and you're making sure they're getting their ballots mailed out to them and they're applying for permanent mail ballots, then you're guaranteeing that you're going to get a lot more votes than you otherwise would. And what Pennsylvania is seeing is election after election with extremely high turnout on both sides. So it's essential for whichever party is going to win to maximize that as much as possible. And quite frankly, the Republicans didn't get it because there was so much focus on potential past fraud that voters were just completely uninterested in participating in that. And it hurt a lot. I mean, to the point where very Republican districts out there in Western Pennsylvania underperformed for the GOP by 10% or maybe even more, up to 20%. Humongous disappointments out there.
Well, I mean, that's unbelievable, those numbers.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable when you go and look at it. I mean, the one that stands out to me the most I mentioned was Washington County. It's very unionized. That's a big place where a lot of natural gas comes from. You can thank Washington County for heating your house this winter because there's so much natural gas that comes out of there. And that is a county that Republicans should win by 25%. And I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier. Mastriano won it by 2.44%. Huh. It really cuts to the heart of something deep problem that happened this time around, to lose by 23% in a very Republican district, or disappoint by 23% in a very Republican district. It says a lot about something that needs to change. And the party officials I'm talking to, they're saying that what they want to change the most is get away from talking about 2020, find moderate candidates who will spend their time talking about how they're going to increase energy production and how they're going to reduce grocery bills, because that is the kind of thing that they believe is going to turn out voters in the middle of the road and not going to turn off voters who are sick of hearing about past elections.
Yeah, I can understand the point about the past elections, because I agree. It doesn't help to focus on that. I still think conservative candidates can win if the campaigns are run well. But that brings me to the other question I have, which is how much are they blaming abortion, the Dobbs case, that decision in all of this?
A couple people I spoke to did say that. However, if you read my article, I wasn't having any of it. If you look at the turnout numbers in Pennsylvania, and this might shock you, but a Wall Street Journal analysis found that 5% more Republicans turned out to vote than Democrats. What that tells you is that a lot, thousands and thousands and thousands of Republicans across the state split their ticket and voted Democrat at the top of the ticket somewhere. And the question is why. So the party has to do a lot of soul searching about all the Republicans they lost.
That personally just infuriates me, because I think that once the primary is over, you have the nominee, party's got to back him. And so that brings me to my next question, Michael Torres. What are you hearing in terms of what's next for the Republican Party in the state with the chairman? I mean, he lost both statewide races. Typically, when that happens, the chairman gets toppled.
Yeah, I've gotten a few texts from people saying that there's been some meetings and there will be some meetings. What comes out of that, I don't know. Everything's extremely vague. These sort of things get bureaucratic and a lot of personalities clash. Quite frankly, it's at this point, who knows what will happen? It could be a whole bunch of nothing, or you could see a very, very big change in how the party is run. I think that if Republicans in the state want the party to be something that is helpful in the next election, they should speak to their county party officials and tell them that they need to step up and start making an effort to be more informed and participatory in which candidates come forth and how the party tries to get out the vote, because that just didn't happen. They didn't take any stand on which candidate should be at the top of the ticket, and they didn't do a lot to get out the vote early in the game. And that is both the party officials' faults and a lot of voters just not even thinking that the party is something to pay attention to.
I got a lot of work to do. Michael Torres, yeah. Real Clear Pennsylvania. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate it. Good stuff. Good insight.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Rich.
And don't forget, Thursday night, we're going to be at Parks Casino. It's our comedy night. We're excited for that. A lot of laughs tomorrow night. Joe Conklin, man of 1,000 voices, it's his night, but he's got several headliners who are going to be there, including the hysterical Marion Grodin and Mike Baldini, the MC. I'll be the co-host up on stage. You get your first drink included with your ticket price at $20, and all the laughs and the camaraderie, the friendship. Seeing each other again in person is great. Parks Casino is always a blast. So go to parkscasino.com/comedy. Get your ticket now. It always sells out. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. Tomorrow night, Thursday, November 17th, Parks Casino. I'll see you there. Go to parkscasino.com/comedy. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. What does Governor Ron DeSantis have to say after President Trump's speech last night? And what's with that brutal New York Post headline about Trump? I'll tell you about that as well. Don't go away.
Hey, Doylestown. Tell your smart speaker to play 1210 WPHT.
Almost Friday, Friday Eve. I was getting excited about that. Excited to be at Parks Casino tomorrow night, too, because that'll usher in Friday for us. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. Actually, you know, executive producer Matt DeSantis, for all the grief that I give you about your brioche bun eating Yellowstone snubbing ways, aren't you thrilled that you chose to become my executive producer, considering this posh schedule that we have?
Yeah, I'm going to end up going like an entire month without working a full Friday. Now, obviously, we are in this Friday, but it's only for 90 minutes, I believe. So that's kind of like a half day. But yeah. I mean, the only reason I even agreed to come to afternoons, no offense, Rich, had nothing to do with you. It's just I knew your work schedule. You don't work Fridays, and I like that a lot.
That's just an outright, it's outrageous accusation. It's a fake news. It's a lie. It's the worst. I mean, come on.
You know what's insane? I mean, I don't know what the betting odds were going into the show, but I'm certain I was not the favorite. But I've actually taken more Fridays off thus far than you have.
Exactly. Thank you. Since I moved to afternoons, I've only taken one Friday off. You've taken two off.
That is correct.
Now, Friday is a work day for us, so we get full credit for it. It's like when your kids go to school half day and it counts as a full day. But we are bumped for some sporting contest of some nature at 4:30, so we're going to be on from 3 to 4:30 on Friday.
That's great. And Stocker texted us. He was like, sorry, guys, you're only on for 90 minutes Friday. And I was like, oh, yeah, darn, this stinks.
What a terrible, terrible thing to hear from the boss. I mean, now, of course, I could be studious and do something on Facebook Live or, some sort of podcast or something, but... Yeah, the odds of that happening.
Yeah, don't even throw that out there. I have my heart set on just lounging from 4:30 onward.
Well, now with all this free time in your hands, you could keep watching Yellowstone because you're going to like it. It gets really good.
Maybe. I guess I could.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Very unlikely.
Well, either way, it'll be a fun show on Friday because when I don't have 4 hours to pontificate, if I only have 90 minutes, I'll talk even faster than I normally do and probably do even less prep. Which is hard to believe that that's something I can accomplish.
I mean, yeah.
But I'll even do less prep for a 90-minute show than I would do for a 4-hour show, obviously. I'll do half the prep that I don't even do. So it's like negative prep.
Do I have to do any prep?
No.
Okay, good.
No, and especially because I've got 90 pages of prep from today, and the odds of us getting through 10% of that are about 0 to 1.
Again, I apologize. I kind of got out of control today. I was adding stuff this morning, and then I looked at it, and I saw, oh, wow, we've hit, I think we're technically at like 82 or something.
Yeah, 82 pages of prep.
Makes it impossible to locate anything that you need. Like, it sounds good, like face value. Oh, wow, you have more material than you could possibly use. But it actually ends up becoming a hindrance because you can't find anything that you want to talk about.
Thank you. That's exactly my point. Michael, where's that article? Is it on page 52 or page 72?
I always give you the same response. I have no idea. So it's in there somewhere. Scroll around. Eventually, you'll find it.
And just do a word search through the document. Searching, searching, search. Oh, there it is. FTX. Look at that. Let me go to Frank. He's in South Jersey. He wanted to weigh in on the Pennsylvania race. Frank, my man, what's up?
How you doing? Good. I just wanted your thoughts on a couple things. Do you think that... McCormick would have been a better candidate than Oz?
Probably.
Being that he was a Pennsylvania, born and bred.
Yeah, I do.
And then secondly is, I don't know if you paid attention, but the amount of money spent with Mastriano was nowhere near. Like, you had 6 ads to 1 on the TV for Shapiro versus Mastriano, and they kept on hammering the home about this abortion thing. And if you read the stats, they said 9% of the people were, it was important to them. So if you took that 9% and put it towards the Republicans, if he came through with an ad, like, coming back against them, saying that all this wasn't true, which he never did, okay, you probably would have been 10% higher on the voter turnout. That's, one of the things that I just noticed right away. He wasn't defending himself at all. They were trashing the crap out of him.
He was ridiculously outspent. So was Dr. Oz. You can't take the money aspect out of it. It's just these campaigns are so incredibly expensive. And being outspent by tens of millions of dollars is just, you can't overcome that in politics. It's all television advertising. And then, of course, the mail-in ballot, which is an expensive get-out-the-vote operation to coordinate the mail-in ballots. Let's not forget, you need money for that too, Frank. So all those things together compound and put these guys at a major disadvantage going into this election, no question about it. And Mastriano had the other problem, which is so many Republicans that were openly coming out and working against him, from Karl Rove's political action committee to Republicans in the State House. And that's also something very, very difficult to overcome. And I think that, for Shapiro, ducking a debate with him is inexcusable. And I think for Fetterman only doing one debate with Oz is inexcusable, and doing it on October 25th after how many thousands of people had already voted by mail. So, yeah, there were a lot of factors. And that's why I think just blaming one individual or blaming just one thing, it negates responsibility.
One other question I had for you. I wanted your thoughts on this. This abortion thing, why, in my opinion, I cannot understand in my right mind why the Supreme Court would take that on in an election year with abortion. I cannot understand that.
Well, I mean, they didn't have a choice because the Dobbs case was in front of them. They can't put it off. I mean, they got to make their decision. They can't. You don't want a Supreme Court making or not making decisions for political purposes. You just don't want that. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but the court has to stay out of that stuff. I think it's very important. They had a rule on the Dobbs case. If they ruled on the Dobbs case thinking that it would help politically, that would be disastrous for the Supreme Court. If they made their decisions not based on the Constitution, but based on how it's going to play politically, that would be disastrous.
Yeah.
And they had a rule in the Dobbs case. The case was before the court. So they're on a docket. They have to make a ruling on that. There's nothing they can do about that. And frankly, I'm glad they made the ruling they did, even if it did cost us seats, because it was the right way to rule for the Constitution of the United States of America.
Well, one other thing. I cannot understand why everybody lets Josh Shapiro off so easily. He changed the law in 20. He helped change the law, the voting laws, to allow mail-in voting, and that was a real problem in 20. It still is. Well,
it's a real problem because Republicans are not taking advantage of it. That's and they have to because it's the new way to vote.
Agreed.
Frank, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Okay. Enjoy your day. 855-839-1210. No, look, I mean, the Republicans passed that Act 77. Mastriano voted for it. It's the law. It's staying. It's not going anywhere. Republicans need to get behind it and get people to vote by mail, because you can guarantee a vote. You can guarantee that somebody votes on Election Day. That's why they passed it in the first place. I don't like it. If it were up to me, like I've said a million times, you'd vote on Election Day only. Absentee ballots would be the exception, not the rule. People would vote in person. They would vote by having a show ID, and they would vote on a paper ballot. But I also know I live in the real world, and I'm not going to get my wish. So then you have to adapt to the world that you're in, and you got to make sure that you're dominating those mail-in ballots, because the advantage it does give you is you can put a ballot in someone's hand, and you can make sure that it's returned, and you can make sure that that's a vote that you need. And that's what the Democrats are doing. And you're either going to play by the rules, or you're not going to play by the rules. That's how it's going to be. And you're either going to take a stand and lose, or you're going to take a stand and win. You got to make that determination. So it's not going anywhere. In fact, probably in the future, more and more people are going to be voting by mail than we could ever possibly imagine. You know, I'm not for voting by app. I'm not for voting by the internet. Any of those crazy ideas. I'm just for winning. I want to win elections. And if that means then that we have this ability to get people to go to doors and knock on doors and go to people's houses that we know are Republican voters and go to places where they are and get the ballots handed out, get the ballots in, get them in so you don't have to worry about somebody who's stuck in traffic on Election Day. It's raining on Election Day. Their kids had a soccer game. Their kids had an emergency. You don't get that person to the polls on Election Day. You take that variable out of it. So that's the upside of this. But like it, love it, hate it, it's here to stay. So, you know, capitalize on it. Capitalize on it and win if you want to win. If you don't want to win, then, you know, you can complain about it all you want and hope for the best on Election Day. But know that the Democrats are going to be spending a lot of their money and their time in their organization getting those mail-in ballots in. So, you know, try to live in the real world as best I possibly can, even though I don't like it because the real world is mean. What did Governor Ron DeSantis say about President Trump? Anything? No, he didn't, actually. He came out and said everybody needs to cool their jets. Everybody needs to take a deep breath and just relax. I'm going to play that audio for you straight ahead. But first, Omaha Steaks makes people happy. So the other night, my wife and I took out some of the Omaha Steaks bacon-wrapped filet mignons. Now, you want to know why I love those? Because you get that smoky flavor from the bacon on the filet mignons. These are hand-trimmed, butcher's-cut filet mignons. They're unbelievable. Big, thick filet mignons, and with the bacon wrapped around them, it gives you that smoky flavor, you know, and I love that. Seared them up in my skillet, put them in the oven for a few minutes. They're delicious. Put some of the Omaha Steak seasoning on it. I'm getting hungry, as you can tell. That's what Omaha Steaks does. They make people happy. They're America's original butcher and America's oldest butcher. And this is not just steak. It's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. And right now, when you use my name, Zioli, you're going to get an extra $30 off at checkout. That's right. So you go to Omaha Steaks. You load up on all the favorites. 50% off site-wide. All kinds of great things. And then you get the extra $30 off with my name, Zioli, Z-E-O-L-I. What are you waiting for? Go to omahasteaks.com right now and shop and make yourself happy. Load up on favorites, burgers, gourmet hot dogs, delicious steaks, and so much more. omahasteaks.com. They make it really easy for everybody to be happy. And it's also a great gift too. You know, like my dad is particularly very difficult to buy for. And when you're thinking about prices going up everywhere and you're thinking about who's on your shopping list, you can get 50% off site-wide when everybody else is raising prices out there at omahasteaks.com, plus the extra $30 off. So you're going to get steaks that are better than the quality at the grocery store at prices that are way better than the grocery store, because I don't think they're having 50% off sales. So don't wait. omahasteaks.com, promo code Zioli at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He's refreshed, well-rested, and fired up. Now here's 45 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli
on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT
and the Odyssey app.
Minutes, baby. We got a lot to talk about, too. I want to start with that creep, that Sam Bankman-Fried, that disgraced billionaire con artist, Democrat donor. And so the New York Times actually ran a puff piece about him and left out anything about his connection to Democrats. This guy was the second biggest Democrat donor in the country. And they did a post-mortem of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried, published on Monday in the New York Times, drawing a lot of criticism for portraying the disgraced wonderkind through rose-colored glasses, according to the Daily Wire. The company filed for bankruptcy on Friday, as you know, after users discovered that firms controlled by Bankman-Fried were using fraudulently intertwined, triggering a liability crisis from users who rushed to withdraw funds, causing the young entrepreneur's $15.6 billion fortune to disappear overnight. A number of individual customers and larger clients still have $8 billion stuck in frozen accounts, as this creep is now asking investors to help compensate users. He's trying to raise money as we speak. Alameda Research is a trading firm launched by him and led by Carolyn Ellison, with whom he has been romantically intertwined, allegedly borrowed customer holdings from FTX to make trades. So that's a total scam right there. The company underestimated the amount that they needed to keep in reserves should customers want to remove their funds. This is Enron. This is Bernie Madoff. It's all these things again. However, the article from the New York Times minimized the fraud allegations and fixated on his personal life following the company's implosion. The author of the piece, David Bellany, summarized that his ambitions exceeded his grasp. Now, this dude's under investigation by the SEC and the Justice Department. They're trying to get him back from the Bahamas, where he's being holed up right now. But extraditing him without an indictment is a little bit of a tricky thing. So they're not going to probably be able to do that unless there's actually an indictment. But maybe that'll be coming. Problem is, he's got a lot of very powerful friends in Washington, although he might have lost a lot of them a whole lot of money. That's right. In fact, the downside risk was very significant. It was substantially larger than I thought it was, he said. Though his cryptocurrency empire was ultimately a house of cards, the article lauded him for being an ambitious philanthropic operation, investing in dozens of other crypto companies, giving media interviews, contributing to quote-unquote political campaigns. Of course, not mentioning the only campaigns he contributed to were Democrat campaigns, and offering Elon Musk billions of dollars to help finance the mogul's Twitter takeover. He's a self-proclaimed effective altruist, a socialist lunatic. Well, the New York Times doesn't describe it that way. They said he wished he had bitten off a lot less. And they don't get into anything about all the Democrats he gave money to, who then all refused to do anything to regulate his cryptocurrency industry, or how they were literally using the law to go after his enemies. That's right. You see, he didn't want his own company to be regulated, but he wanted his enemies to be regulated. And there were a lot of Democrats, and this is another thing that I hope the Republicans do when they take control of the House of Representatives, and that is to look into who gave money to this creep, who was involved in D.C. helping him, who was working to make sure that he would never have to face any oversight. He donated almost exclusively to Democrats ahead of the midterm elections. A ton of cash. He was the second largest contributor to the campaign which elected President Joe Biden 2 years ago. And his parents, Stanford law professors, they are well connected within Democratic circles. His aunt is the dean of Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health and an affiliate of the World Economic Forum. I know that's shocking. He was founded a mere 3 years ago and became an overnight success. Even before the fraudulent investment practices were exposed, the company had offered bogus promises to potential investors shortly after launch, as shown by resurfaced fundraising emails, one of which promised high returns with no risk. Now, a lot of celebrities got, they lost a lot of cash here too, including Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady, supermodel Gisele Bündchen, Golden State Warriors player Steph Curry, Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence, basketball legend, legend Shaquille O'Neal, Kevin O'Leary, who is a celebrity investor, retired basketball player David Ortiz, tennis star Naomi Osaka. All these celebrities will lose significantly from the company's failure. It's not clear whether the celebrities paid in cryptocurrency, when they were paid in cryptocurrency, if they continue to manage the digital coins in the frozen accounts. He's attempting to raise fresh cash despite his bankruptcy. And there's a whole lot of celebrities that lost a whole lot of money. I feel bad for him. I do, obviously, because, you know, this guy's a scam artist. And this guy bilked people out of billions of dollars here. And he needs to go to prison. They need to extradite him, and bring him home. But can we get to the bottom of how many Democrats took his money? Can we get to the bottom of how many Democrats were working to protect him on Capitol Hill, protect him from oversight, protect him from the Justice Department? Can we please? I would like that. I think you would too. I think we'd all like that. That would be what we'd call justice. And I'm a big fan of justice, much like Superman. I love justice. But right now, we're not going to get any justice if this guy continues to hide off in the Bahamas. And then what about all the money that was lost? Are people just out of luck? Is that what happens here? You know, the New York Times is such a disgrace, right? Broadway's The Lion King fires a worker over his skin color. This is something we call discrimination because we're firing somebody over the color of their skin. This time it's a white guy because discrimination and racism apparently to the media doesn't count when it's against white people. The Theater Development Fund, which staffs Broadway shows with American Sign Language interpreters, allegedly forced at least two white people off the cast of The Lion King due to their skin color. One of these individuals, Keith Wan, is suing, saying that this is racism. According to the lawsuit, the director told him and another interpreter, Christina Moshla, to back out of the show as she thought it was no longer appropriate to have white interpreters represent black characters for the Broadway shows. Apparently, sign language needs to be only done by a skin color of a certain kind. Otherwise, the sign will be racist signing if the skin color does not match the color of the performer. I mean, who thinks like this? What kind of a wacko thinks like that? They look, that person's hand is moving around, and it's not the same skin color as the person talking. So now interpreters are gonna, I can't wait till the left starts doing this too, how you can only have Latino interpreters for Latino speakers. You'll have to find a gay interpreter if a gay person speaking. You'll have to do all this to make the left happy, to satisfy them and all of their dumb little woke checkboxes, I guess. They'll be screaming like, wait a second, is that person who's signing right now straight? That speaker is clearly gay. How can you possibly now allow that to occur? And then, of course, men won't be allowed to sign for women, and women won't be allowed to do sign language for a trans person who's identifying as a biological, as a male, I mean. I guess that'll, you know, sometimes I think the world needs to end. He went on Monday's show on Fox and Friends with his attorney, and DeSantis, I believe we have audio of this, do we not? Did I send that to you?
I don't think I have that.
That may have been in my dream, but that's okay. I saw him on there in Fox News, and he talked about this. I mean, it's a shame for anybody to lose their job because of the color of their skin. That is what we used to call in this country racist. We used to call that. We used to say that. There are laws to protect people from losing their job because of the color of their skin. Imagine that. We may have to go back to that at some point. But again, this is what happens when, you know, woke is allowed to do what they do and just destroy people. So would you like to hear some of the media's reaction to Donald Trump's speech? By the way, he's got a great, there's a great line during his speech last night about the American flag. I enjoyed this very much. Take a listen.
Human knowledge and extend the horizons of human achievement. And we will plant our beautiful American flag very soon on the surface of Mars, which I got started.
See that? Look at that. We might be putting the flag on Mars. I like that. That's pretty good. It's like in the show For All Mankind, where they went to Mars. But a good show, by the way. The last season was terrible, but the other seasons were really, really good. Before I get to the audio of the media losing their minds about Trump, you know what the craziness of the world we live in right now? Little kids can get transgender surgery and take puberty blockers and do all these things to mess with nature, which is science. Whenever you're messing with nature, you're obviously being anti-science. They can do all those things. In fact, it's encouraged now by the American Pediatrics Association. It's encouraged by the left, encouraged by the media, all over the place. They tell you if your child at 3 years old thinks that a little girl thinks she's actually a boy, then go ahead and give her puberty blockers at age three. I mean, the craziness that's out there right now is insane. Insane. But if you give your kid a tattoo, they're coming after you. Oh, you know it. They're coming after you big time. I know what you're thinking to yourself. You're thinking, wait a second. Is that really true? Can that happen? You know, yes, it's actually happening. There was a woman who gave her 10-year-old daughter a tattoo. A 10-year-old boy a tattoo. His mother was arrested in New York State. Because in New York State, even though kids can get surgery, mutilation, they can mutilate their bodies, it's encouraged. They can get puberty blockers, which can have all kinds of devastating effects for years. But if you give them a tattoo, even a tattoo of a transgender person, the parents will go to prison because that's against the law. Think of the insanity of the time in which we live. And there are people out there. The American Academy of Pediatrics says children cannot consent to tattoos, but they can consent to mastectomies. It is a permanent mark or a symbol you are putting on your body. And I don't think kids under 18 have that kind of agency to make a decision, said Dr. Cora Bruner, who talked to the New York Times about this case of this woman who was arrested. We need to look at these laws again, she says. This is because a 10-year-old boy showed up to school in New York. He had a tattoo on his arm last month. The school nurse called the police. The child's mother, who had given permission, and the unlicensed tattoo artist were arrested. The event prompted a renewed discussion about varying minimum age restrictions for tattoos across the United States, leading one doctor, who was also the author of the American Academy of Pediatrics Guidance on Tattoos, to say that children under 18 don't have the agency to consent to doing this. This is permanent. And they're just not, their brains are not, you know, mature enough to be able to make these kind of decisions. The American Academy of Pediatrics is the same professional association that endorses minors consenting to being chemically castrated and having bilateral mastectomies in the name of gender affirmation. You think about how insane that is. They'll argue that a tattoo is permanent and therefore kids can't do it. But if the kid wants to chop boobies off or take drugs or do any of those things, which could not only damage them physically, but also psychologically forever, potentially, that's absolutely encouraged. And if you stand up as a parent and say no, you might lose your right to be a parent. They might take your kids from you because you're not allowing the children to live their truth. But if the kid gets a tattoo, you're going to go to the slammer. How freaking stupid is it? That's what I mean. We live in the dumbest time ever. There is no federal minimum age for tattoos. And my God, I hope there never is. The rules vary from state to state. Like some in New York require a young person to be 18 or over, while others allow those 14 and over to get inked with parental consent. About a dozen, including West Virginia, Ohio, and Vermont, have no minimum age as long as there is parental consent. Meanwhile, all over the U.S., children who believe themselves to be transgender are thought capable of consenting to the irreversible medical pathway involving experimental puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and major surgeries slash mutilations in the form of bilateral mastectomies, hysterectomies, and in rare cases, yes, even genital surgeries, all with the full backing of the American Academy of Pediatrics. That stands in stark opposition to a kid getting a tattoo. Now, whether or not you think a child should get a tattoo is not the point. The point is, if their brains are not mature enough to make a determination to ink their body, how are their brains mature enough to decide they want to chop their boobies off? Can anyone explain that to me? Because see, I'm having a tough time understanding that. If the brain can't comprehend the effects of having I Heart Mom on my shoulder, how can my brain process the effects of when I take cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, as a child? In gender clinics all over the nation, children just entering puberty are given the option of fertility preservation, which is the freezing of sperm or eggs due to the fact that the gender-affirming care, as it's called, will likely leave them sterile. Matt Walsh, one of the many to point out the contradictory positions of the American Academy of Pediatrics, remember his great show, What is a Woman? He said, amazing, the article quotes an official with the American Academy of Pediatrics who says that kids don't have the agency to permanently alter their bodies, and yet the American Academy of Pediatrics fully endorses gender transition for minors. Marissa Kakulis, a New York City lawyer who has written a series of books about tattoos and consults on tattoo law, told the New York Times that as tattoos have shifted from being counterculture to becoming mainstream, the issue of minors and tattoos is likely to get increased attention. It seems like the gut reaction should be no, minors should not get tattoos, but minors will get tattoos, she says. Think about this now. They'll let 16-year-old girls get abortions without their parents' consent. They'll argue that 14-year-old girls should get abortions. But you want to give your kid a tat, they're going to haul you off. And again, whether or not you think kids should get tattoos, I personally don't. I'm not a tattoo guy. I don't have any. And I can't imagine my kids getting tattoos at young ages. But, you know, when they're older, that's going to be up to them. But how can you justify all those other things when they're under 18, but not a tattoo? And if you're going to argue that the tattoo is permanent and that's why we can't let kids make this decision for themselves, then all those other things are also very, very permanent. And parents are getting arrested and charged with endangering their children for consenting to tattoos. And in many of those states, those same parents would get arrested if they don't let their kids have chemical castration and gender-affirming care. Imagine that. It would be like this. Your Honor, my client is pleading not guilty to the charge of endangering the welfare of a minor. What's the case about? Well, he gave his one kid a tattoo and then he deprived the other kid of gender-affirming care. What do you mean? Well, the 16-year-old wanted to have an I Heart Dad tattoo, so he let her get it. The other one wanted to chop boobies off and he said no. So he's been charged for both by the state, Your Honor, because he let the one kid get a tattoo, wouldn't let the other kid get gender-affirming care, Your Honor. So he's doubly charged with his twin daughters. I mean, is this the insanity? It's sometimes, honestly, truly hard for me to grasp this kind of insanity. Really, I mean it. The inconsistencies of the left, the only thing they are ever consistent about is their inconsistency. I think reasonable people would agree that parents should be able to make decisions on tattoos in a certain point. But if we as a society are going to adopt this philosophy that kids under 21 shouldn't smoke cigarettes, because it shouldn't have guns, this is what the left says, how can you turn around and justify to me that they can go through all this nonsense by destroying their bodies and using chemicals and everything else? What kind of a person thinks that that makes sense? And it proves to you that with the left, it's entirely about whatever the cause du jour is. That's it. The cause du jour. Now, they'll have three-year-olds they bring in these cross-dressers, whatever the thing is, these breakfasts they do, these drag queen breakfasts, and they have little kids around, and they go, oh, that's healthy. It's really good for the kids. How is it good for the kids? How? Nobody's ever explained that to me. You know, Bill Maher had a great line the other day. I don't know if you caught this or not, but he was talking about Governor Ron DeSantis, and he said that the don't say gay bill doesn't say don't say gay. If anything, that bill should be called the let's go back to 4 to 5 years ago bill. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the just 4 or 5 years ago when things were kind of normal, Bill. And now we're also dealing with something else, this woke discrimination that we have, where you've got parents who are getting in trouble because they won't let their kids go through this nonsense. You have people being fired by this. There was a great piece that I saw by this professor. And this professor actually said, the new woke discrimination demands a new law. Vivek is the two law professors, Vivek Ramaswamy and Jed Rubenfeld, who's the Yale law professor. Vivek is actually an investor. And they wrote this piece. They said, you got to expand the Civil Rights Act to protect employees from being fired for their political beliefs. When you think about woke and you think about all this, Republican politicians often ask what they can do to combat wokeness. Remember what DeSantis said the other day? He said, Florida is where woke comes to die. I love that line. A little bit of invoking Yellowstone with that. John Dutton. When he said, I am the, what does he say? I'm the thing that progress crashes against. And I forgot the exact line, but the best approach is to amend state and federal civil rights laws to protect employees from discrimination on the basis of political beliefs. Corporate viewpoint discrimination is unfair and widespread, a driver of polarization and a direct consequence of the way existing civil rights laws have been interpreted. On signing the Civil Rights Act in 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson declared that it would end divisions and told Americans to lay aside irrelevant differences and make our nation whole. But while that act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, sex, and religion, it doesn't protect political beliefs. And today, corporations across America fire employees who express the wrong political opinions. Disney fired actress Gina Carano after she compared the treatment of conservatives on social media to the Nazi persecution of Jews. The company called her post abhorrent and unacceptable, although co-star Pedro Pascal wasn't sacked for likening Trump supporters to Nazis. Longtime Sacramento Kings broadcaster Grant Napier lost his job for tweeting "All Lives Matter." A Virginia high school teacher was fired for refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns. A software company dismissed an employee for posting a TikTok video complaining about Bronx bodegas. A USA Today editor was demoted, for tweeting, "People who are pregnant are also women." That editor was demoted for daring to suggest that. This is un-American, and it's also counter to the spirit of the Civil Rights Act. You can't be fired for expressing your religious beliefs or your gender identity. Why is it then you can be fired for your political beliefs? The answer lies in the Supreme Court, beginning with Meritor Savings Bank v. Vinson, which is a 1986 case, which interpreted the Civil Rights Act broadly to protect workers in protected categories from harassment. Now, the justices defined that the term should include verbal conduct that creates an intimidating, hostile, or offensive working environment. And then, since then, hostile workplace litigation has exploded. Political viewpoints or symbols perceived by minorities or women as hurtful or demeaning can create unlawful, quote, hostile work environments. And now you have the Equal Opportunity Commission, which ruled that a postal worker stated a valid hostile workplace claim against the United States Postal Service for allowing another co-worker to wear a cap with the "Don't Tread on Me" flag. In fact, the aggrieved employee said he found the cap to be racially offensive to African Americans because the flag was designed by Christopher Gadsden, a slave owner and trader. That's not what the Gadsden flag is about. It has nothing to do with that. It's a Revolutionary War flag, and it's a beautiful symbol of liberty. A federal judge ruled that a New York policeman stated a valid hostile workplace claim based in part on a one-time placement of a campaign sticker for Donald Trump on another officer's locker. A federal judge in Ohio found that a company's letter, which was disapproving of athletes kneeling during the national anthem as disrespectful to the military, could indicate a culture of racial discrimination. So if you put out disapproval of athletes kneeling during the national anthem, you're actually now supporting the discrimination that would support a black worker's hostile workplace claim. So you can't have an opinion on that, because you'll be creating a hostile work environment. A federal judge in Georgia allowed a claim to proceed in which, among other things, the plaintiff co-workers made frequent comments that President Obama was stupid. The court explained that President Obama is African American and that the plaintiff understood these comments to be harassment based on race. Because Obama's black? So now you can't criticize the president of the United States because that's racial harassment? We heard Donald Trump was stupid 87,000 times a day by the left in the media. 87,000, a minimum times a day. We heard that he was stupid. But if you say Obama's stupid, you're being racist. No, you're being critical of the president of the United States. This is what's happening right now in the workplace right now. And it's happening. People get fired for MAGA hats. But if they wear BLM hats, that's encouraged in the workplace. Even though BLM, Black Lives Matter, is a political movement. It's a political organization. But this is the problem, though. This is the problem, is that we have companies right now that choose their political positions, and they do this because they want to be woke. And then they'll fire employees over it. And what these authors are arguing is we need to have a woke Bill of Rights, an anti-woke discrimination Bill of Rights to protect people for their political beliefs. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's do this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.